Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, podcast listeners? Thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 31 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, today I want to finish up that recent podcast series I've been doing on hip pain by talking about lateral hip pain. Now, if you remember back to last week in episode 30, I talked about the common injury of piriformis syndrome. Now, obviously, that creates a lot of pain in the backside of the hip, deeper under the bigger glute muscles. Today, however, we're going to move on to the lateral side of the hip. So this is lateral hip pain. Now, when we start talking about lateral hip pain, let's first talk about how does it present. Now, lateral hip pain usually isn't just something that happens overnight. Don't just wake up all of a sudden and boom, your lateral hip starts hurting. Or you don't just do one squat, you move sort of weird and boom, your lateral hip starts hurting. It's usually something that builds over time. It's a very slow onset injury. It's sort of dull and achy. And a lot of times you can feel force specifically where it's at. It almost is painful right on the bony prominence that sticks out on your lateral hip called your greater trochanter of your femur. Most people can actually pinpoint that specific area actually by pushing on it or the area just below that. Now, if we talk about when this pain comes out, many times people will have pain while they're lifting, but they'll have almost the worst pain late at night when they're trying to sleep on that affected side. Traditionally, this injury has been labeled by many in the medical field as trochanteric bursitis. So if you just do a simple Google search for lateral hip pain, trochanteric bursitis is usually going to be one of the first things that pops up. Now, what is bursitis? It's basically a way of describing inflammation to a bursa sac. And that's basically a small fluid-filled sort of a bumper pad that provides cushioning and limits friction between bones and different tissues that lie over the top of them. However, we've come to find that only a small majority of people who have this lateral hip pain is actually due to this inflamed bursa sac. There was a research article I looked up, I think it was back from 2001, so you know, a little bit ago, but not too old. And I believe it said that only like 8 to 10% of lateral hip pain cases were actually due to this bursitis. So instead, a lot of people then think that it's mostly due to an overuse injury of some of the tendons that surround that area. Now, if you look at the side of your hip, the anatomy of it, there are two main muscles that surround that area. There's the glute minimus and the glute medius. And a lot of times those tendons are going to run right over that area. So therefore, because we're thinking it's not as much of a bursitis, it's more of a tendon injury, which is called a tendinopathy. In fact, if you look at some research, they say that lateral hip tendinopathy is actually one of the most prevalent types of tendon injuries in the lower body. Automatically, when we think tendon injuries, lower body, we're going to automatically jump to what? Patellar and quad tendon. But in fact, some research says that it may actually be more prevalent to have this in the hip than in the knees. Now, unfortunately, here's the difficult part. We can't always tell the difference 100% of the time. Is it trochanteric bursitis or gluteal tendinopathy? In fact, sometimes these problems can actually occur at the same time and could be caused by the exact same issues. So for this reason, when we see generally lateral hip pain in someone, we just refer to it as greater trochanteric pain syndrome. We don't necessarily subcategorize it into a tendinopathy or a bursitis. Our treatments are going to be pretty similar. But when it comes to testing for these, there's a few things that we can do besides just saying, you know, poking on the area and ouch, ouch, this hurts. It's probably greater trochanteric pain syndrome. So one of the most simple tests you can do at home, you don't need any special testing. You don't even need a friend to do this test like some of the ones that I've showed you guys in the past. It's just a single leg stance. All you're going to do, stand on one leg on the side, you know, that hurts, and try to stand as tall as possible. See if you can hold that for 30 seconds without any pain. Now, this test is positive if that position, standing on one leg, creates pain in that lateral hip. Research actually shows that this test is very good at detecting, yes, this is greater trochanteric pain syndrome, if you're unable to stand for 30 seconds without pain on that side. Now, once we have our assumed diagnosis, you think you have this greater trochanteric pain syndrome, before we jump into fixes, let's just do a little education on the anatomy of that part of the hip and some of the potential causes for why you may have even had this issue start up in the first place. So quickly, let's go over the anatomy of your lateral hip so that you can better understand this injury. So glute medius is one of the bigger muscles on the side of your hip. It's a large sort of fan-shaped muscle, runs from your pelvis all the way down, connects with a single tendon to your femur. I've talked about this muscle in depth earlier in an earlier podcast, so definitely go back over that if you would like to learn more about that muscle. The glute minimus is a smaller muscle that fits right behind the glute medius, attaching to a very similar part on the femur. Like I said, I've talked a lot about the glute medius before in many other podcasts because this is a muscle that I think a lot of people have misinterpreted how it actually functions, and therefore your fix for when it is not working properly completely changes. A lot of people think that it is more of a strengthening, or it's a muscle that produces big movements, and therefore by just hitting strength exercises, we're able to make big changes when it's under functioning. But in fact, the big thing I want you guys to understand, the glute medius, it's a stabilizing muscle, just like your rotator cuff muscles of your shoulder. And it works together with the glute minimus to steady the hip, it limits knee cave, and it keeps your pelvis from tipping or rotating sufficiently side to side. So now that we have that out of the way, you understand how those muscles in the side of the hip work, let's talk about why this pain may develop, lateral hip pain, greater trochanteric pain syndrome. As I explained earlier, most people with symptoms of lateral hip pain have a gluteal tendinopathy injury. Now, if you remember back to my podcast way back a couple weeks ago on patellar or quad tendinopathy, or if you read my much longer blog version on squatuniversity.com, tendon injuries occur due to relative overuse or an overload of those tissues. They can occur in an untrained individual that starts like a very high intensity program, or even in an elite athlete if they've deconditioned their body for a while, for example, on like a vacation or something, and then they jump directly back into their normal training. If the body is not allowed to recover after rapid increases in intensity or frequency of training, the tendons can become what we would call reactive, and the injury process begins. So here's an example. Let's say you've got an elite athlete, his name's Gary. He's a national level weightlifter, Olympic weightlifter, and Gary lifts usually 5 to 6 days a week. A couple of them are 2 days. He's got a very high intense and high frequency training schedule. Now let's say he gets done with his last national level meet. He's like, peace, I'm going out on vacation for a while. I'm gonna enjoy myself on the beach. He goes for 2 weeks, does not train at all. He comes back from that break, jumps suddenly back into his normal training program, normal being relative to what he's used to doing, what his body's relatively used to being subjected to. Because those tendons have become relatively deconditioned over that 2 week break of not being exposed to any lifting at all, it's almost that, you know, jumping back into that normal training at a high intensity is sort of an unexpected stress. That shock is basically what sparks or can spark a tendinopathy injury. A similar shock to the body would occur for, let's say you have George, and George usually trains a couple times a week at his local CrossFit gym. He's been reading online that squat every day sounds like a great program, so he wants to do it, and he jumps from, you know, lifting lower body at least 2 days a week and then jumps to, you know, squatting 7 days a week. So the same abrupt transition from deconditioned relatively to a higher level of intensity or frequency can spark a tendon injury. So that's one way in which that could happen. Now, there are some people that I guess you would say, based on their anatomy, are more inclined to having this type of injury when you do have that unexpected stress. And it's because, like I said, to anatomy. For example, some research believe that those who have a wider set pelvis and or a more like angled pelvis from the pelvis down to the femur are more subjected to compressive forces on the tendons. Those lateral hip muscles basically are run at a more angled position from the pelvis down to the femur. Therefore, they're basically more predisposed to having this injury. So that's why if you look at these epidemiological studies and different research that looks into exactly why does someone develop lateral hip pain. A lot of times, just being a woman is one of those factors because on average, women have a more wider set pelvis and more angled pelvis to femur ratio, I guess you would say, than men. That's just a natural anatomy difference. So besides training, programming at least, besides anatomy, what else could cause this injury? Well, the next most common factor is a movement fault or positional fault whenever you're training. This is something I think that at least when we're talking about weightlifting and powerlifting and CrossFit, this is going to be a huge issue predisposing people to developing this pain. So I'll use the common technique fault of the hip shift on the squat as an example. As someone shifts to, let's say, the right side on the ascent, the way up from a squat, the right thigh is going to shift towards the midline of the body. This would be the movement of adduction, hip adduction for those out there that understand the movement, the names of the different movements of the joints. This causes the right side IT band to wrap more firmly around the lateral thigh in an effort to keep the pelvis stable, basically. What that's going to do is then compress that underlying glute tendon against the femur and the associated bursa, which can then increase the potential, because those forces are so high, of developing the tendon injury or irritating that bursa. Remember, even though it doesn't happen in a lot of people, it's still a potential reason for that lateral hip pain. So looking back, if you have developed this lateral hip pain, look at some of your training videos. Do you have a hip shift? Because that hip shift could be the underlying why to developing this pain. Anytime that thigh is pulled towards the midline of the body, either with a hip shift or a knee cave, the glute medius and minimus tendons, remember those muscles on the side of your pelvis, are placed in a bad position or a lengthened position, and they're exposed to a lot of compressive and tensile forces. Those are two types of forces that act upon those tendons. And if the forces are high enough and for a long enough duration, they can create this pain. So this is why, like I said, when you are looking, if you're a coach, looking at your athletes, or if you're an athlete, video yourself, you know, observing lifting technique and making sure that we are maintaining quality technique with light and heavy weights is huge, because athletes are very great a lot of times at covering up movement issues with lightweight, but it's not, they don't really show those movement errors until that weight gets very heavy. Well, injuries can occur both ways. So you may look great up to 70%, 80%, but if you're not showing that hip shift or knee cave until 80%, you know, we need to be able to work on creating great looking movement even at those high intensity weights, and not using the big weight that you're moving as an excuse to lift that way, because in the end, not only are you hurting your proficiency at moving that big weight, but you're leading yourself to having and developing this potential injury. So how do we fix it? Unfortunately, there's not a ton of research out there to back up any one specific protocol in treating a gluteal tendon pain. However, we can use our understanding in the different things that we have learned from other areas of the body that have injuries with tendons, like patellar or quad tendon pain, and the research that's gone into them, and we can extrapolate the understanding, the basic ideas, and use that. Whenever we're treating gluteal tendon pain, we can give a good starting point for where we want to go with our rehab. First and foremost, we need to cut back on the different movements that may be creating excessive compressive forces on those tendons. So, for example, we need to avoid lifting very heavy if it's going to lead us to having compromised positions like those hip shift or knee cave. That's putting too much pressure on those lateral tendons and exacerbating our symptoms. Second thing, we actually want to avoid stretches also often that pull your body across or pull your thigh across your body. So for example, there's that classic glute stretch where you're just going to be sitting down and pulling, let's say, your right knee to your left shoulder. You're pulling your knee across your body, and you may feel that stretch in the lateral hip, but if you have lateral hip pain, a lot of times that's going to make things worse, because again, what are you doing? You're pulling across, you're compressing that area, you're adding a lot of force to an area that's already injured because of having too much compression. So that's one thing a lot of times we don't want to do. Outside of your workouts, outside of not stretching, other things that can be very helpful as well as far as decreasing your sensitivity to your current pain that you have is thinking about how you're standing and positioning your body, thinking about not hanging out on one hip. We see so many people when they're standing. Let's say they have a standing desk even, which is better than sitting all day, I think. But if you're standing in a bad position, like standing on one hip and sort of shifting over to the one side, that can place a lot of pressure on that lateral hip. If you sit all day and you sit with your legs crossed, that can also place a lot of compression on those lateral glute tendons. So thinking about the positions that you're in throughout your day and your training can be helpful at decreasing, sort of kickstarting that healing. Also, let's think about how we're sleeping at night. Remember, a lot of times people will have this pain and will come out in training, but it's going to be worse at night. They're not going to be able to sleep on that side. So one of the main things you can do is to do different positions, have yourself in different positions when you're sleeping to try to remove that tension and compression on the lateral hip. First thing you can do is just try laying on your back with a pillow under your knees. That may be great. A lot of people, though, they may not be able to sleep on their back. So what you can then do is try to sleep on your side, but have a pillow between your knees. Again, that'll help reduce a little bit of compression and improve your sleep quality. And remember, if you're sleeping better, you're gonna help recover yourself better and you're gonna get back to training that much quicker. So we talked about that, controlling for movements and positions that may place excessive compression on those tendons. That's a great place to start. Remember, it's not only about what you are doing with corrective exercises, but what you're not doing as far as the positions you're putting yourself in during the day or the different type of lifts that you're doing. We need to take those out that are triggers for our symptoms. That's the only way to spark recovery. Doesn't matter how many corrective exercises you put into your training program or your rehab program. If you don't fix the other big things that are causing your pain's probably not going to get better, at least at the rate that you'd like it to. And that's going to just lead to even more frustration. So the next thing we can do is reintroduce a little bit of force, good forces, on the injured tendons in order to help facilitate the healing process and improve their load-bearing capacity. So this is going to come in a three-step process. The first one is isometrics. Isometrics, if you can remember, are where a muscle contracts, but there's no joint movement. We can do strength exercises. This is called an isotonic. And that's also going to improve tendon capacity to handle load. And then we can do some movement re-education and technique fixes. Remember, often to treat why the issue even started in the first place. So like I said, isometrics is your first sort of load that you're going to apply, forces, early onset exercises. Just like with patellar and quad tendon pain, isometrics can be great at helping decrease pain when it comes to tendon injuries. There's two ways that we can do an isometric, and that's a wall stance or a squat stance hold and a wall sit. So for the squat stance hold, all you're going to do is get a band, like we talked about before with a lot of the other exercises that can be like the Mark Bell hip circle, the Gymlogic band that I show a lot. It can be any type of resistance band, but you want to put it around your thighs, maybe just above your knees. You are going to get into a small squat stance. I'm talking maybe even a couple inches down. You don't need to go very deep. And you're going to drive your knees out to the side while keeping your foot in a good position. And you're just going to drive your knees out to the side and hold that position. This does not need to be a very high intensity isometric. It doesn't need to be the thickest band in the world, because a lot of times a low intensity isometric, like 25% of the max capacity of that muscle to contract, can be just as efficient, even more efficient sometimes compared to a high intensity isometric. But you're going to just sit down into a mini squat with that band around your knees, driving your knees out to the side. You may be able to start off with like a 10 to 30 second hold. And eventually, because you're driving your knees hard out to the side against that resistance of the band, you're going to feel your lateral hips start to work. You don't need this to be like too crazy hard to where they're trembling, but we're applying a force to those lateral tendons to sort of kickstart the healing process. So that's the first thing. I'd maybe do about five sets of like a 10 to 30 second hold. And then we can also do a wall sit. So just like with the patellar quad tendinopathy, we can use wall sits as a great early rehab exercise to return our control of the muscles, put a little bit of force on it, but not in a way that's going to re-injure or cause any of those symptoms to come out. You can just use your regular wall sit, but with a band around your knees. Again, you're doing a wall sit to hit the quads, but because you're driving out against the band resistance, you're going to get those lateral hips to kick on as well. One that I really like to do with a lot of my patients is a lateral wall sit. You're just going to stand to a wall, let's say we're leaning into the wall with our left side. Your right foot is going to be at least 2 feet from the wall, and you're going to bring your left thigh up to about 90 degrees and just push your left hip into the wall. If I'm not giving you guys a great visual of this, check out my blog on this, lateral hip pain on squatuniversity.com. I've got a great picture that may give you a better visual of this. But basically, we're going to be leaning into the wall and doing a lateral wall sit. So driving your right leg away from there is going to turn on your lateral glute muscles of that leg that's pushing into the wall. Again, 10 to 30 seconds. If you're doing this correctly, your lateral hips will be working really good. Now, eventually, those isometrics, we need to move on from that. We need to transition to more higher level strength exercises called isotonics to improve the load-bearing capacity of the injured tendons. Now, research has shown that heavy resistance exercises performed in a slow tempo, something that's very similar to many muscle hypertrophy programs, can be great at improving this load-bearing capacity and decreasing symptoms, basically to help kickstart and continue the healing process. And it's actually going to be better than a lot of eccentric exercises. A lot of people love doing eccentrics with tendon injuries, but actually this will probably be a little bit more friendly on your hip. Now, why do we need to improve the load-bearing capacity? Remember, we're talking about a tendon injury is an injury where the fibers of the tendon, at least part of the fibers of the tendon, have basically started to die off. If you've allowed the tendon injury to go on for a long time, it starts off in the reactive phase and then it goes into different phases of degeneration where basically part of the fibers of the tendon are unable to bear load like it used to. A lot of people will use the analogy of a donut. And if you think about donuts got a hole in the middle, well, if you do an ultrasound, for example, of some tendons that have reached this later stage, you've had, you know, been dealing with a tendon injury for many, many months, sometimes years, part of that tendon is actually going to look like it's got a giant hole in it. The part of those fibers have become so degenerated that they can't bear any load anymore. Well, some treatments by medical practitioners will try to aim at treating the whole. They will try to do different treatments at trying to improve what has become degenerated. Well, that doesn't really work the best. And what we find out is that actually by trying to improve the load-bearing capacity, trying to strengthen the donut, the healthy portion of the fibers that's still there will actually give us a better healing, and you're going to get back to doing your sport or what you do more efficiently because you're going about fixing what you can actually fix. If you actually look into a lot of the research, I think it's Jill Miller has done a lot of research on tendon injuries. There's a lot of great information that we sometimes can't actually reverse a lot of the tendon degeneration. But what we can do by improving the strength and load-bearing capacity of what is still healthy, we can get back to doing what we want to do. We can rehab efficiently. So early on in the rehab process, we don't want to perform a ton of single leg exercises when we're talking about the right strength exercises to do. And why is that? It's because when you're doing a single leg exercise, like a touchdown squat, which is an exercise I love to do and I show a lot, but when you're on a single leg stance, the thigh naturally moves into adduction. It moves towards the midline of the body in order to stay balanced, meaning that it's actually creating a small amount of tension on that tendon naturally. It can't be avoided. And remember, back to the early part of this podcast, what's one of the tests that we did for finding out if you have this greater trochanteric pain syndrome? You stood on one leg. So why would I want to use that as an exercise early on? Because that's probably going to just make symptoms worse. Now, one of the best ways that you can activate your lateral glute muscles is with a lateral band walk. We've talked about these before. You're going to have a band either around your ankles, your knees, your feet, depending on the type of resistance band you're using. Choose the one that works best for your body. And you're just going to be driving yourself sideways. Don't reach out with that front leg, but drive yourself laterally with your stance leg, your back leg, and eventually down and back a number of times, you will feel your glutes burning like crazy. Now, here's the big thing to understand if it's a tendinopathy injury. Within the next 24 hours after performing stuff like this, you need to assess your symptoms to see if they're getting better or worse. For an injury like this, even a change at nighttime pain is a good indicator of whether or not you're tolerating the rehab exercise as well. If your pain gets worse at night or the next day is worse, you may have done too much too soon. You just need to cut your corrective exercise, the duration that you're doing them, the intensity of what you're doing. You need to tailor them for your body. So always test and retest the exercises and understand whether or not you're doing too much or just enough to continue progressing your rehab. Now, the next part, like I said, movement re-education, the last step of the rehab process. Once you've gotten a lot of that strength back, you're feeling better, you're sleeping better, and we need to retrain those broken movement patterns so that we can start loading our barbell lifts again and not hope to push ourselves back into injury again by allowing ourselves to shift or let a knee cave happen again. A great tool for this is called RNT, Reactive Neuromuscular Training. If you have read a lot of the works by physical therapist Michael Voigt, Greg Cook, RNT is designed to help improve movement quality by teaching the athlete how to feel for what it's doing incorrectly. This is known as proprioception. Basically, what you're going to do is use resistant bands to help pull your body into an exaggerated movement fault, like a knee cave or hip shift. And by feeding the dysfunction, feeding the movement problem, by pulling yourself into it, the body should reflexively realize that error and learn how to correct itself by pushing into the opposite direction, pushing into a good technical movement. You can do different things like a split squat, where you are, let's say if you're doing a split squat and your right foot is forward, you can have a band. You can either use a partner or tie this band up to a rig. The band is trying to pull your knee in, feeding into the problem of a knee collapse. So when you're doing that split squat, obviously your body then needs to react, drive the knee to the right side, driving it out into a good alignment. That's performed by the lateral hip muscles. You could just do a regular squat where you're having a band around your knees. Again, what is the band doing? It's trying to pull your knees in. If your knees are trying to pull in, your body should understand that, realize it, drive out against the band. That's accomplished by the lateral hip muscles again. If it is a hip shift, again, you can have a larger band and a friend that's going to try to pull your body with a band around your waist, pull your body into the position that you are shifting to so that you can try to pull yourself out of it and drive up more symmetrically. So there's different things. There's not a right or wrong. Using a lot of variety based on what your individual movement problems are is a great way to then find that last step of fixing the movement issue so you can get back to 100%. So as you now know, lateral hip pain is not a very simple injury. There's not a very easy way to go through this. First off, we have to understand why the injury is there. Is it something that has been a long time coming because you've been sitting in a bad position for a long time? You hang out on your hip all the time. Is it something that possibly occurred because of poor training programming and you jumped way too fast into a high intensity program, or you didn't allow yourself to ease back into your previous level of high training? Is it something that maybe you were predisposed to because you have a wider set pelvis and you started shifting or twisting and doing some movement squat fault and that eventually led to the hip pain? So understand why it's there in the first place, eliminating those triggers so that we can then build yourself back up. Now, obviously, today with the podcast, I gave you guys a couple ideas on the rehab, doing the lateral wall sits, the squat stance holds, the lateral band walks, the movement re-education. Those are just general things that you can do to build yourself back up. If those things aren't helping and you're still finding yourself dealing with this issue, go to see a medical professional, a sports physical therapist, a sports chiropractor, anyone that deals with injuries from a movement-based perspective first. It isn't just going to shoot your hip full of cortisone and tell you to take 2 weeks off, because obviously that's not fixing the problem and getting you back to a high level and doing so because you're doing it the right way. Anyone can decrease pain by just addressing the symptoms, but it takes a true professional to actually address the underlying why. So I thank you guys so much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you guys got something out of this. If this is something that you have dealt with in the past yourself, or you are a coach and you want to prepare yourself to dealing with something like this in the future, it means so much to me to have you guys listening to the show. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, please continue to share it with your friends, your family, and continue sharing it across social media. It means so much to me. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and crush your next workout. Till next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.